Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Well, good Saturday morning and welcome to what's left of Week 13 of the NFL season. It is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Show is brought to you in part by our friends at Giovanni's of Wilmer. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking about all things in Week 13 of this NFL season. Our goal, of course, is always to help you win your league. If we can help you out in any way, check in on that Car Shop Inc. text line. It's 320-235-9094. Well, it's the Fantasy Football Twosome today. Jack, how's things going in your Loon League?
Yeah, everyone else must be busy managing a good team because I'm eliminated.
Yeah, but, you know, we talk off air. I know we typically talk Loon League on this show, but you're having a lot of success in your other leagues.
Yeah, honestly, the Loon League was the only league that I drafted what I thought was best player available. And it's not a touchdown league, but it might as well be the way we score it. So, like, I took Laporta in the second round, and that has just been brutal all year. And then I had Diggs and Rushy Rice, lost them both, obviously. So it's just been brutal. And the waiver wire is so bare in that league. It's literally, there's no one available. So, you know, I've got, you know, 2 weeks ago I scored 50 points. And this last week was like 70-something. So, you know, but it's like, yeah, I got some other leagues, but I'm still having fun, and I can't wait. I'm so happy every year that it's a redraft league. That is the most exciting news. Oh. And lastly, John, since we don't have the other guys to run their mouths, I'll tell you guys showed me how to look at the history on the app, and I realized I came in second place last year. I'd forgotten all about that. So I've got one first and two second place finishes out of 10 years or whatever we got. So I'm going to hold on to past victories and forget about the current problems that are going on with the team.
I hear you, man. I went through all my histories, too, and I have one win in the Loon League. But the Loon League was always the league where I took the most chances because it was fun to talk trash with you guys, and it still is, of course. Once I settled down a little bit this season, I'm having a better year. And, I think I'm in first in my in our division, but
he says humbly, you're in first in that one and in the Pride League,
Purple Pride. Yeah,
and you're still in the 8-man and you're still in the 16 man guillotine. Yeah, you're having a year, John.
Every now and then it happens. I remember many moons ago, I think it was like 1999, when I just decided to draft Manning and Edge James and Marvin Harrison and a bunch of high upside guys all in their second year, and might have been the last time I won a league, 1990. Now, anyway, well, let's move on the show. Of course, we're going to have Start 'Em and Sit 'Em, our Trenchman Bench 'Em for the remaining games here for Week 13. We're going to have the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. And we're also going to have our daily fantasy news and strategy. I'm stammering a little bit because I forgot to pull up the injury report. Here it is, and here we go on the injury report. At least new names that are on there. Sam Darnold on it with a foot injury. Brandon Allen, if you have to go two quarterback leagues or you're at that level, he's got a finger injury. I think he's probably going to start again. Purdue has had a rough week of practice. Baker Mayfield, a stinger. He played the entire game with a stinger last week. Guy's tough. On to running backs. Breece Hall with a knee injury. He should be all right. Brian Robinson, ankle injury. That was a little scary. Keep an eye on him. J.K. Dobbins out with a knee injury. Austin Eckler still on the concussion protocol. And Kareem Hunt had a toe injury. I think it's going to be a little timeshare between him and Pacheco. As far as wide receivers go, we've got D.K. Metcalf, Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, Cedric Tillman. They're all questionable. Romeo Dobbs, concussion. He is out. Not that that matters. That game was on Thanksgiving. Who else shows up? Calvin Ridley is questionable, but I think he's going to be a go. Pop Douglas in deeper leagues, he should be a go for sure. And as far as tight ends go, we've got, Will Disley was the hot pickup. He's got a groin injury. But again, you keep your eyes on the injury report for tomorrow. Jack, Thanksgiving football Broke yesterday, Matt Eberflus from the Bears fired. I think that was a reasonable decision to make.
Yeah, you know, I was watching that game live. I wanted overtime just because it was Turkey Day.
Yep.
You know, didn't really care much about whether the Bears beat the Lions. Although it's a great storyline and it helps the Vikes, obviously. But just the total mismanagement by the quarterback and, you know, and I'd say maybe 5 to 10% on a rookie quarterback and 90% or more on the head coach. And, you know, KOC's got a guy that does clock management for him. I don't know what these coaches are doing. Like, at any point in time before that ball was snapped, they could have called a timeout. Even with 8 seconds left, that would have been fine.
Yep.
I mean, you had 30 seconds left. Could you imagine an Aaron Rodgers or a Peyton Manning making that mistake, even as rookies? Like, it's just such mismanagement. And it's like, that's your season. If you beat the Lions in the division, and you go from being what 4-8 now, but you're at 5-7.
Yep.
You're still alive for a wild card spot. Now you're dead.
Yeah, dead in the water, and I understand why they have to have somebody do that clock management for them. They're coaching a game. I mean, so, you know, last thing on their mind should be that, I suppose. But, yeah, that was a rough goal, man. I think a lot of people expected a lot more out of the Bears than they got this season. But the other games, really no surprises. Lions do what the Lions do. I guess I thought the Green Bay-Miami game was going to be a bit better.
Yeah, I didn't care much for that game. You know, going against HN, you've got him in one of the leagues I'm praying for hope on. But I've got Josh Jacobs, and man, what a baller that guy's been the last couple games. That Green Bay team looks real legit. And I don't buy into the storyline of the cold weather with Tua. Nobody likes the cold weather. No one in the NFL is like, oh, I love cold weather. It all sucks. Defensive, you know, DNs and stuff will tell you they do just because they're trying to play tough. But you know, I thought Miami, Tyreek Hill did okay. You know, I mean, his touchdown was kind of lucky. Tua, I think, stood in the pocket too long. He took a lot of hits he didn't have to take. And at the end of the day, they weren't going to beat Green Bay even in Miami.
No.
I mean, Green Bay is just a better team. And it really speaks to this division that the Bears, the worst team in the division in the NFC North, could have beat the best team in the NFC, maybe the whole NFL. And three of those teams are definitely headed to the playoffs. I mean, it would have been real fun to see all four of them try to sneak in.
Yeah, I hear you on that. At least the chunks of the game I got to watch, three-step drop, Jonnu Smith. Three-step drop, Jonnu Smith. And I understand that. But, yeah, well, I don't know.
He hit Waddle on a couple. Achane had some good runs, and Tyreek had some real good catches, too. But it was just the times that he just held onto the ball too long. He makes me so nervous every time he gets hit. Mm-hmm. I know it shouldn't be that way, but it is.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll take our first break, come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategies. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome this morning, and it's time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy for Week 13. And let's kick it off with quarterbacks, Jack. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing me picking on the Falcons a lot this week because the secondary is so terrible and the weather's bad and it's an indoor game in the South. So I'm going to go with some Herbert. You can get him right now for $5,600 on DraftKings, averaging 16.5 points per game. Falcons are 27th against the quarterback right now. And obviously I'll be stacking him. I'm just going to be picking on that Falcons defense. They just give up too many points.
For me, I see a couple of plays that I like. If I'm playing cash this week, it's C.J. Stroud up against Jacksonville. And I know he's been a disappointment for a lot of people, got him early on in redraft leagues and whatnot. But Jacksonville's 32nd against the pass, man. And Stroud, it comes in at 6,400. But the value play I like is Bryce Young. And I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. He's up against Tampa Bay. They're 31st. And the last two games since, and right after Bryce Young got benched, he's looked fantastic, making the throws and not dancing around and doing the right things. And Bryce Young right now comes off at $4,700. I think he's going to be a pretty popular play in GPPs, but I think this is a week you're going to want him against those Buccaneers. But I do like the Herbert call as well. How about running backs, Jack?
Well, running back, so I am going to stack up some Vidal Sassoon there in L.A. with J.K. Dobbins, doubtful coming into the weekend. He should be ruled out. And you and I were chatting off air, John. The Gus bus is just hard to trust for the big play action, maybe goal line work. But with Atlanta, you don't need goal line work. You're just going to break a 60-yard run. And that's where the younger guy comes in. And then I'm going to also throw in some Bucky Irving, the obvious choice going against Carolina for $5,800. That's the best value for a starting running back that's probably going to get 2 touchdowns and 15 carries.
Yeah, Bucky is that's good play. If you're playing Bryce Young, that should give you enough money to jump up to Joe Mixon against Jacksonville, and I'm picking on that game because Jacksonville's defense can just get shredded. But Mixon's spendy at $8,000, and you know, what color is the sky? I mean, I understand Joe Mixon's a guy you want to get in lineups. I do also like Chuba Hubbard, and I'm talking Carolina Panthers, and it doesn't make much sense, but it doesn't seem like, Jack, they re-signed Chuba Hubbard to a big contract, even though they drafted Jonathan Brooks. Jonathan Brooks becomes healthy, and I think he was on the field for 5 plays, and that was it, maybe got 1 carry. So I don't know if they're babying him in and planning on going with a 2 running back set next year, but Chuba Hubbard has just been a workhorse. Anybody who manages him this season's been real happy with that pick for sure. How about running back or wide receivers?
Yeah, Hubbard's been a great value. Well, so receivers is where I'm spending some money. Mm-hmm. AJ Brown, Jamar Chase, I got them both in my lineup. I love AJ Brown because it's against Baltimore and yeah. They're terrible against wideouts, and Devonta Smith is hurt. Saquon's got what, 47 touchdowns in the last 3 games or mm-hmm. whatever. So I think A.J. Brown's going to have a really good game. If you're looking for value, again, I'll tell you, go right back to Los Angeles, coming to Atlanta, and pick on that game all you want. If you like the Cincinnati matchup, I know Pittsburgh defense is legit and elite almost. Joe Burrow's still going to score 30 points in this game. I mean, if Jameis Winston can do it, Joe Burrow can do it. So T. Higgins is also a really good value there. I'm looking more at games, John, than I am anything. And if you can afford it, get you one of the Minnesota receivers against Arizona. I mean, they're not going to be able to stop all of them. People have been shutting JJ down a lot, but man, Addison, he's really been taking advantage of that. And what is Addison going for right now?
Let me just double check. 5,300.
Yeah. I mean, for 5,300, and then, you know, you take a look at what the guy's done. I mean, he's balled out. So there's value at the receiver mark, but I think if you don't have an A.J. Brown or Jamar Chase or maybe a – I don't know if J.J. is the one to go with, but I think you got to squeeze in one of the big dollar receivers this week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There is some value out there, but I agree you got to get at least one of those guys in there. Going back to stacking, I didn't bring him up in quarterbacks, but Darnold, if you wanted to stack Darnold and Addison, that's $11,200. I mean, I think that's pretty good value this week as well. As far as receivers go – you know, Ladd McConkey is turning into a thing, and I think he's like $5,100, or no, he's like $6,100, something like that. I like Ladd McConkey against Atlanta. I like Kupp and Nacua. If you've got too much money, those guys are both startable. Nacua kind of has the edge over Cooper Kupp, but that doesn't mean Cooper Kupp's going to disappoint you. Stafford just throws to both of them. I like stacking Bryce Young with Xavier Leggett. He's $5,100. You can have some fun at wide receiver this week and, you know, try and get the big guys in. I see, A.J. Brown, that's a good call at $8,300. If you're going to go with top notch, I think that's the way to do it. What do you got for tight ends?
Well, so tight ends is where, you know, I mean, anyone that played Noah Gray 2 weeks in a row, congratulations. But, you know, Hunter Henry right now, $4,200. Indy coming to New England, cold weather. He is the top receiver in New England. He's 8 targets in his last game, 9 the game before that, and then 4 before, 8, 6, and 9. I mean, the guy is averaging 7 to 8 targets a game right now. And when you got a tight end that's getting that many opportunities at 4,200, I mean, it just makes sense to try to get the guy in the lineup. Again, it's one of those things where if you have a little more money, Taysom Hill to me is the wild card play. He's one of these guys, John, that if he has a good game and he's not in your lineup, then you're out of the money. So, you know, it's just it is what it is. I mean, if Taysom Hill puts up 47 fantasy points and someone spent $3,000 on him, that person knocked you out of the money in a DFS play. So I think Taysom Hill is almost you almost got to get him at $5,000.
Yeah, and he's getting up there in price. You know, McBride's the high guy this week at $5,800. Taysom Hill second. And I mean, we're gamblers. That's why we play this game. So why not give it a try? I like Cade Otton this week going against Carolina as the bring back. He will get less targets, and it was immediate. As soon as Mike Evans was on the field, Cade Otton got less targets, but he's still getting targets. Baker still likes to throw him the ball. So I like him against Carolina. I actually like, if you need value, Pat Freiermuth. You can beat Cincinnati in the middle of the field, and Pat Freiermuth comes in at 3,500. You know, if you need to free up some cash so you can get A.J. Brown in your lineup, I like that a whole lot. How about defenses, Jack?
I'm not going less than $3,000 on defense, and I'm looking at either Pittsburgh going to Cincinnati. That's not far. And again, you know, I think Joe Burrow is going to put up some points, but the Steelers defense has just been consistent. But the real one I love is the Bills with San Fran coming all the way to New York. The weather forecast is insane for snowfall.
24 inches.
Lakefront.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, that's when you don't want to be on offense. Like, bench all your San Fran receivers. If Purdy's healthy, I don't send him out in this game. You know, it's an AFC opponent. I'm not worried about winning it, beating an AFC opponent this week. I know they're on the cusp of playoff elimination, but we got games to go. So for $3,000, I really like the Bills. I picked them up in a couple leagues, and I'll be starting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good call. I like the Commanders against Will Levis in Tennessee at $3,400. You're spending a lot of money, but I think you're going to get a return on that. I like the Texans against the woeful Jacksonville Jaguars. And I don't know if I really want to go too crazy on this. Maybe the Rams against New Orleans. Don't know what's going on there. I don't even know. The Colts are up against New England, but I don't trust that Colts defense at all. Not in the least.
I don't trust them. The Commanders, though, John, just made Cooper Rush. I have had 12-leg parlays 2 weeks in a row get busted on the Commanders.
Really?
Never again.
Yeah, I
suppose.
Hashtag
never again.
I forgot about that. I figured after that drubbing that they had against Dallas, maybe they were going to come out a little motivated. We'll see.
Nope.
We'll see. All right. We'll come back. It's time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Hey, if you are, getting ready for tomorrow's games and whatnot and maybe just had a turkey hangover, talk to our friends over at Giovanni's of Wilmer. Locally owned, locally operated, great pizza. Go to giovannisofwilmer.com. It's not just, I mean, if you want just pepperoni sausage, you know, you can get all that, of course. Fresh ingredients and whatnot. They have some specialty pizzas that will blow your mind. It is so good. And you can get them take and bake style or have them delivered to you. So you're all set to go for tomorrow. It's, like I said, always say it's a winning combination. Call Giovanni's Pizza at Wilmer now. Take a break from cooking. 235-5555. Online again at giovannisofwilmer.com. And now it is time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. She's a little thin this week, Jack. What do you see, quarterback?
Yeah, I like a little bit more meat on the bones personally, but all right. We'll start at quarterback, and high availability here is Derek Carr. Obviously, through all the bye weeks, he's got the Rams coming to play him. Last three games, John, since he's been healthy back playing full-time from injury, he's got 5 touchdowns, no turnovers of any kind, and he's averaging about 250 yards a game. And the Rams' defense is good, but it ain't that good. So I got no problem having Derek Carr in the, you know, in the spot this week, especially if you have a quarterback on bye. And he's got big play potential with MVS, Alvin Kamara. You know, I know Taysom Hill takes a little bit of the love there, but I think Derek Carr is a great play.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I've got him in a league and I'm going to throw him out there because, well, I have to. A couple of guys I see. So the problem with Jameis Winston, who I seem to bring up every single week, is you're – what you love about him, he just throws and throws and throws and throws and throws. He's got a rough schedule coming up. It's Denver, Pittsburgh, Kansas City for, and then in the playoffs, you know, it's Cincinnati, Miami. But he, you're a gambler, 2 quarterback league. You can get a lot worse than Jameis Winston. And a guy who is getting it done with his feet and has had double digit points since he started in this league is Drake May. and he's available in 80% of leagues. So if you're in two quarterback leagues or you got a bye problem next week because there are six teams on bye in week 14, thanks NFL for that, I would take a look at those guys and at least get them on your bench and see what happens this week, and maybe you can run them out there next week. How about running backs, Jack?
Well, we talked about them in DFS, but available in 94% of leagues is, how does he pronounce it?
Kamani. Kamani. Yep.
Kamani. Kamani Vidal there. Vidal Sassoon is what I'll call him forever. You know, he hasn't had a lot of looks this year. He has had more than six carries, it looks like, but he's got Atlanta and then Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Denver. There's some mix in the defenses there, but if you need one for this week and you told me you could get the starting, at least the 50-50 running back on a team going against Atlanta on a bye week problem, I'd say throw that guy in your lineup. So, you know, if you're a Dobbins owner, you should have known from the draft that this guy was one play away from being injured. I'm very surprised he made it this far, but congratulations to him on a good season so far, though. But, yeah, I mean, he's available. I'd go out there and snatch him up, and I would have zero problems throwing him right in the lineup. He's going to get double-digit points against Atlanta.
Right.
It's just going to happen.
A couple guys, and it is thin at running back right now. So if you are in a position right now where you're going to make the playoffs and – you know, you got some guys you can monkey around with on the bench about, then you need to start thinking about looking at handcuffs just in case. And it doesn't have to be your handcuff, even though you should handcuff your good running backs. You look at other people's handcuffs and you've got them. And if something goes haywire, then you're set to go. And that's Trey Benson in Arizona. He's available in 75% of leagues. We know what James Conner's workload is. If James Conner goes down, who has a history of injury, Trey Benson gets that workload, so I like him. The running back of choice, it seems like now in Minnesota, is Cam Akers. If Aaron Jones goes down, he's available in over 80% of leagues. Now, we're doing this show, of course, in Minnesota, so I'm guessing a lot of people have that. But man, it is so important to have the backup right now going into the playoffs, the fantasy football playoffs. What do you got at wide receiver, Jack?
Yeah, it's time to drop some of the garbage you know you're never going to start.
Roster and cloggers.
Start securing. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so it's funny looking at wide receivers, John. Talk about roster cloggers. On my Loon League, these are WR1s. On other people's teams in their leagues, these are guys that are not owned. I'm going to give you a couple. Mm-hmm. Starting at 27% rostered, Adam Thielen, Carolina. Pick the guy up. Gets a lot of targets. And he's a smart, smart football player. You got MVS available in almost 80% of leagues with New Orleans, coming off of two big back-to-back games. And then you've got my shining star, my number one, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yep.
I love when I click on their names to read stats, John. It's do I want to drop them?
Right.
Because they're all these low players already on my roster. But this guy's got, six touchdowns in the last seven games. Only game he didn't score a TD was against the Chargers. And now he's got at Washington. I like that matchup. He's got Jacksonville, Cincinnati coming to him. I like those matchups. Yep. Then he finishes the year at Indian, at Jacksonville. I think he's a sexy flexy WR2 the rest of the season. So again, if you got a bye week problem or if you're in a touchdown heavy league, this is your guy.
I'm with you because Westbrook-Ikhine's touchdowns seemingly are 70 yards and longer. And, you know, once they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, this guy's on the field more. And when you're on the field more, there's a better chance of targets. So I'm a big fan of Westbrook-Ikhine, and he's a fun DFS play, especially in GPPs. I've got Xavier Leggett, talked about him in the DFS segment. He's available in 65% of leagues. The guy is super athletic. Bryce Young coming around. I think he should be rostered in all leagues. I mean, I look at guys like Deontay Johnson, and we just remember the past, I think, in this case, Jack. He's droppable, and that's just my opinion. He's just not picking up the offense. He's just there to be there, and they already have two stars at wide receiver. I think you can kick him to the curbs. If I'm looking around, maybe some Jalen McMillan. He's kind of turning into the number two in Tampa. He's available in 88% of leagues. But there isn't a ton out there. I love your Adam Thielen call, and I think Xavier Leggett. I don't want to cheer for the Carolina Panthers, but they're starting to turn into something, and that's a good thing for fantasy football. How about tight ends?
Yep, I agree. Okay, well, I think tight end's a little more difficult. And again, trying to stick to the available more than 50% of leagues. But for 1 week against Jacksonville, Dalton Schultz with Houston, CJ Stroud has had a couple of decent games, but he's not really had a good signature game in a while. I'd love to see him go out there and really just sling the ball around. And if Schultz can get 5 or 6 targets, again, tight end, it's kind of hard. I mean, you got guys like Kmet that already played and Kraft that already played, and he's, you know, these guys are available, but they've already played the game. So, you know, for this week, a Schooner was an obvious, anyone who hasn't picked him up, you know, Noah Gray, but again, these guys have already played by the time you're hearing this. So still available. There's only two. I took the one that I know you're not going to give, or, you know, I figured you'd give the other one. So
me? Well, yep. I'm looking over the numbers, Jack, and they're either mostly owned or not owned. I mean, Disley available in 68% of leagues, but you got to keep an eye on that injury. He's turning into a thing. I'm with you on Schoonmaker, man. I can't believe he's still out there in 88% of leagues. Jonnu Smith available in 30% of leagues, but again, those games played. You know, Taysom, if you're in a league with Taysom Hill on that, and I guess you better have a really good tight end if Taysom Hill isn't rostered.
Oh, if you don't have Brock Bowers,
I mean,
if you don't have him or Kate Otten, like the guys that we know are going to get a bunch of, there's no higher ceiling at tight end, and there has never been a higher ceiling at tight end than Taysom Hill. And because they are actually using him in multiple games, you got to get him on your team and get him in the lineup, even at a flex or whatever. But now I thought you'd give people Freiermuth. I think that's the other one, you know, that he's certainly worth. So it's really just Schultz and Freiermuth, I think, that are available that I would trust to be able to get me the floor of a tight end of that 5 to 8 points, maybe, that hasn't played yet.
Yeah, this week. Yeah, for sure. No, I'm with you on that.
Maybe Knox, John, with Buffalo, because Kincaid is actually out. Yep. Knox is available on 90%. The weather's going to be brutal. You know, tight ends are tough. You know, they're like DNs, right? So, I mean, maybe that's an option.
Yep. No, I'm with you on that.
JJ Watt played both.
Right. Any quick defense streamers you got, Jack?
He played tight end every now and again. I do like the Bills. I'm not exactly sure what their availability is. Give me just 1 second because I was digging deep into tight ends there.
They're available in 58% of leagues, ESPN leagues.
There you go. I was going to say, put that in the Sounders. Jack was digging deep into tight ends. We mentioned the Bucs. You know, I know Bryce Young going against Carolina and whatnot, but the Bucs have such favorable matchups going through the end of the year. Yep. You really got to take a look to see if they're worth starting. The Cowboys have put up pretty decent numbers once the waivers open up for next week. If you want to look at them, they're still available. I mean, there's some meat to be had out there for defenses. I've been lucky enough to have Denver or the Steelers in pretty much every league that I have defense, so it's not been a problem. But I did pick up the Bills for a spot start this week against the Niners. I actually like them better than the Steelers because they're taking on Cincinnati, right? So if you can get a team like that, I'd say throw them in. And you know, if the Vikings aren't owned, I mean, they're 90%, but, you know, maybe someone out there doesn't have them.
The Vikings are such Jekyll and Hydes when it comes. I mean, in my opinion, when it comes to sometimes they look great and sometimes they just don't. But, you know, Kyler Murray, I don't know what's going to happen with Kyler Murray against the Vikings defense. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Don't mind trying the Rams. I can't believe I'm saying that. They had a -7 last week. But, yeah, I know. And those are killers when it comes to fantasy football.
I mean, that's where the Vikings have only had one -1, and that was at the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, they're scoring a lot of points there. Arizona coming to them, Atlanta coming to them, Chicago coming to them.
Right.
Three home games. I mean, I know they're owned, right? I know. Obviously, but yeah, I love the Vikes. The Rams, man, I can't trust them. I just can't trust them.
Yeah.
I tried this year with some DFS plays. They burned me each time.
Yeah. All right, we got Trenchum and Benchum for the remaining games for Week 13. It is the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Last segment for the Fantasy Football Foursome. Again, if we can help you in any way, it's the Car Shop Inc. text line 320-235-9094. Also, if you miss any part of today's show, it's right on the Loon app. You can go back and listen to anything you missed or online at 941theloon.com. Trenchum and Benchum time. Well, on by this week, of course, no one. Next week, six. And this is ugly how they set up these byes, but they did what they did, and I guess we got to deal with it. Let's kick it off, Jack, with the noon games. Chargers taking on your Falcons.
Yeah, I think this is the game that determines if it's us or the Bucs that win the NFC South, because I see the Bucs beating the Panthers pretty readily. So we've got Justin Herbert putting this guy in the trenches 110%. This is my QB start of the week. Atlanta's 26th against the QB. He's going to have a great game. After that, you can throw in McConkey. I saw a lot of drop passes by Quentin Johnston last week. And Palmer too, I think, but I know Johnston dropped a couple because I had him in a lineup and he just killed me. So McConkey's the wideout I trust there. Gus Edwards is an RB2. Vidal is an RB2. Again, we said Vidal may get more looks than Edwards, just depending on how they want to use these guys. And that Chargers defense this week is a must. You can go ahead and put them in there. And you know what? Go ahead and get you some Los Angeles Chargers kicker too, if that's how you're feeling. On to the Atlanta side of the ball. Well, the problem with my Falcons this year is the names are sexier than the results. Mm-hmm. So anytime you go to a team and you've got a running back that's projected higher than the quarterback, that's usually not a good team. And that's what we've got. We've got Bijan Robinson at 20. We're putting him in the trenches, obviously. Kirk Cousins, you can start him this week. He's a serviceable quarterback. He's going to do well. He's projected at 16. I think that's the ceiling or pretty close to it. Chargers are just a little too good on defense. London and Mooney as low-end WR1s or the highest of the WR2s. Kyle Pitts and tight end mandatory is fine. I've got McLeod and Algier on the bench this week. I've got the Falcons defense on the bench this week. Herbert's a little too mobile. He's looking a little too good to roll him out. So a couple of starts, maybe 4 or 5 in Atlanta. I like the Chargers to win the game. Atlanta should put up some points, but I think it's one of those games where we get behind by a possession or two early on, and we kind of make it exciting in the end, but it's not enough.
Chargers are favored by 1.5. I get Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. NFC North football turning into fun football. It's kind of like AFC North, excuse me. It's kind of like NFC North football. Anyway, Pittsburgh, you got starts here. You got Russell Wilson. I think you can throw him out there against Cincinnati. Now, the running back situation, I think Najee and Jalen Warren, I really don't know what's going on. I have Jalen Warren in several leagues. I don't have any shares of Najee Harris. It is a split, and that's what it is. And I guess you can probably expect somewhere from 8 to 12 points out of either of them, which, in my opinion, makes them no higher than RB2s or flex plays. George Pickens is a thing, and he got a little cranky last week in his game, but Russell Wilson loves to throw him the ball, and that is, I think he's a WR2 this week. Talked about it with DFS, Pat Freiermuth. Tight end mandatory start only. I like the play. I just don't get excited about putting Pat Freiermuth out there and haven't this year. And, of course, you are starting that Pittsburgh defense with confidence like you have been all year long. Cincinnati, they got to win this game. Bad. So you're starting them all. Burrow, Chase, Chase Brown, excuse me, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. And that's kind of where it ends. Gesicki is not really much of a thing anymore now that T. Higgins is back. Problem is they're going up against Pittsburgh's defense. So I don't know what to tell you, but you drafted them to start them. They're superstars, so you start them. And I think you got to run them out there. Cincinnati favored by 2.5 points. Up next for you, Jack, is Houston and Jacksonville.
Yep. All right. So this should be a pretty good game to watch as far as the scoring goes. Mm-hmm. Whatever the over is, I would think would come into play. But you got Joe Mixon as, RB1 maybe in the league as far as scoring. He's just been balling out. Nico Collins, he's back looking good. He's definitely in the trenches of WR1. C.J. Stroud as a QB, no problem putting him in the trenches. And he's a guy that's had some bad weeks, John, but it's not a guy you can really bench. I mean, you got to roll him out there. He's a great QB. Tank Dell. Tank Dell's been disappointing when he's had the opportunities. It seems like he's better as a number two. When he gets the opportunity to be one, he kind of falls apart. So I think Tank Dell is a WR2 sexy flexy. Schultz and tight end mandatory. no problem with the Texans defense this week. You know, it looks like Jacksonville is going to be rolling out their back from injury quarterback.
Trevor.
I don't know. Lawrence. I've got Lawrence in a couple leagues on the bench just because I needed to have a stash. But so if you got Trevor Lawrence coming back against, you know, against the Texans, I don't know how much you can trust him. He's not, he wasn't great when he was healthy. So I'm going to have Trevor Lawrence on the bench this week. I'm going to tell you there's quarterbacks that are going to do better. Drake May, the guy, Derek Carr, my QB one in the Loon League. Those guys are going to be better. But Thomas Jr. is a WR2, Ingram and tight end mandatory. And if you have to start a running back because you don't have anyone else and you got to put ETN Jr. in there, go right ahead. But he's another player where, again, I think that 11-point projection is a ceiling for him. I don't trust Bigsby, Washington, Duvernay, or Strange, the other tight end. I like Houston to win the game pretty readily. I don't know how Jacksonville is not like a 20-point dog.
Yeah, they're just a 4.5-point dog, which was surprising to me, too. But Vegas always knows more than we do, no doubt about that. All right, I get Arizona taking on the purple. Well, this should be a fast-paced game. Kyler Murray, you're putting him in. James Conner has just been a workhorse this season. So then we get to the Arizona wide receiver situation, and something is ringing in my head that this is a Marvin Harrison Jr. game. Now, I know a lot of people drafted him in the second round, and I'm not, you know, throwing any shade at that because we know the guy's going to be a superstar. And he's really only been a superstar quietly for just a few quarters. But I think this is a Marvin Harrison Jr. week. And that's it for me. Michael Wilson, no, maybe a flex, I guess. Greg Dortch has turned into nothing. And Trey McBride, you're starting him, I think, in all formats, whether you're a tight end mandatory or not. Over to the Vikings side, Sam Darnold, yep, Arizona's defense has gotten better. Sneaky has gotten better. They were a picked-on defense at the beginning of the year. They have gotten better throughout this season, but you still put Sam Darnold out there. Aaron Jones and Justin Jefferson, I love Addison this week. Man, what a week he had last week. And Justin Jefferson managers a little upset. I think T.J. Hockenson can go back out there and get some targets as well. You're starting that Vikings defense, too. And Minnesota is favored by 3.5. Jack, you get Indianapolis taking on New England.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough one because it's two teams where they've had some players that have had great games, but then they've also had some real stinkers. And as we're coming into the fantasy playoffs here, you got to start to think about, is it worth the risk on these guys? Yep. So let me break down a little bit on the Indianapolis side with Richardson. Last three games, 12, 28, and 16 points respectively. He's only thrown for 2 touchdowns. He's had 3 turnovers, and he's rushed for 2 more touchdowns, and that was against the Jets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's averaging 18 fantasy points a game over those last three with Houston, New York Jets, and Detroit. New England's defense, and with the weather, I think is a lot tougher than those other three defenses maybe combined. So I think that this is a week that you might have to consider not starting Anthony Richardson. That said, so if it's me, I'm benching him.
Yep.
That said, Jonathan Taylor, I've got him in the trenches, and I've got Pittman in the trenches because of injuries to the other wideouts. Alec Pierce was still carrying questionable into the weekend. He may be a go, but after that, it's down to Pittman and Adonai Mitchell. So I think Pittman is a guy you got to start as a WR2 or sexy flexy if he's on your team. Onto the New England side of the ball. You know, we talked about Drake May a little bit. I think that he's a great spot start this week as a quarterback, certainly in 2 QB leagues or super flex leagues where you can get that other quarterback. He's a great start. Stevenson is an RB2. Henry is a tight end mandatory or a sexy flexy based on the guy's targets. And I don't trust any of the wideouts in New England because it seems like each week one of them does well and one of them gets nothing. And it's too close to playoffs for that kind of gamble. So I bench all of the wideouts. So 3 starts there. I like New England to win an ugly game. I take the under.
Indianapolis is favored, though, by 2.5 points. I've got Seattle and the New York Jets. Well, the Jets defense, not what it once was. And it's funny that they bring up that what once Sauce Gardner picked up golfing, all of a sudden he was no longer a shutdown corner. What do the two have in common? You know, I have no idea, but just thought that was funny. Anyway, Seattle's still throwing the ball at a pretty big clip. Geno Smith, run him out there in two quarterback leagues. Kenneth Walker is RB2. He's just so dangerous because he's a big play guy. That's it. He reminds me of Barry Sanders, not physically or anything, but you know, it's 1 yard, 1 yard, negative 2 yards, and then all of a sudden 86 yards. So run him out there as a running back two. DK Metcalf, questionable for this week. Run him out because Geno throws the ball so much, and he only throws it to two people, and that's Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba. But keep an eye on Metcalf's injury tomorrow when you're looking at the injury report. Over to the Jets. What a dumpster fire this is. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, I guess you got to do it. Devontae Adams, it's ugly, man. And
it's hard to trust that. It's hard to trust that this close to the you know, you don't want to bench a Devontae and then he tees off. But, I mean, you really trust the Jets?
Right, right. And I don't. And Rodgers came out this week and said, you know, the only team he wants to play for is the New York Jets. Well, might get forced into retirement. I don't know. This is just a bad situation. Yeah, run Wilson and Devontae out there and Hall, and I don't see running Rodgers out there. Seattle favored by 1.5 in a game I won't watch. Last noon game, Jack, Tennessee versus Washington.
That is the best way to describe that game, Chuck.
Yeah.
In a game I won't watch. Here's a, okay. I'm gonna give your boy Billie Jean's a little love here. Will Levis, last three games, consistently right around that 20-point mark. Yep. He's got about seven rush attempts per game, and the Washington defense isn't that great. I think you could put Will Levis in the trenches and get a guaranteed 15, and I think he's got a ceiling of 20 to 25.
Totally agree with
you. In
the
game where he may have to have a shootout, right? So I like him this week, and he's available. Tony Pollard, I've got him in as an RB2. Ridley is right at the cusp of being a WR1. He's just a few inconsistent targets away from getting there. And then we've got Westbrook-Akeen in the flex. Titans defense, I'm putting them on the bench. I'm not trenching them against the Commanders just because, the Commanders are capable of teeing off at any time and having a great game. On to their side of the ball, Jaden Daniels, man, he makes football fun, so it's good to have him in the game. We'll put him in the trenches. Brian Robinson Jr. has burnt me a couple times now, John, and between him and Eckler, I don't ever know which way to look or which way to turn. You know, Eckler's projected at 0, Rodriguez is projected at 1, McNichols at 6, Robinson. I mean, if Robinson goes out, McNichols is a guaranteed start.
Mm-hmm.
If Robinson actually starts on Sunday against Tennessee, you probably have to trench the guy because of what he's capable of doing, but he's just not finished a freaking game.
Yep.
So, but McLaurin, I've got him in as a WR1. Again, you know, he's maybe not projected to do too well, but McLaurin's a great wideout. Zach Ertz, tight end mandatory. Commanders defense, I mean, there are way better options out there, even though Tennessee right now is ranked dead last against opposing defenses. Will Levis is on the up, and the Commanders have lost some games where they should have won. So, you know, we'll see. I honestly think Tennessee could have the upset. I mean, I know Washington's going to be favored, but I wouldn't sleep on them.
Washington OC Cliff Kingsbury, I read this story this week. Historically, hot starts and then ice cold finishes, whether he was at, I think he was at Texas Tech, the Arizona Cardinals. It's like they figure out his offense halfway through the year, and then he is shut down. And that's kind of what's going on in Washington. So maybe they can get right. Washington favored by 6.5 points. Late afternoon games kick off with Tampa Bay and Carolina. I picked on this game quite a bit in DFS, and I think there's going to be some scoring in this game. I like Baker Mayfield. I like him in single quarterback formats against Carolina. Rashad White, Bucky Irving. Jack talked about them a little bit in DFS. Rashad White. So last week it was so strange. Rashad White was getting the carries. Bucky Irving was getting the catches, which it's always been flip-flop. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what's going on there. I think both of them are RB2s. Mike Evans, he's a wide receiver one. And Cade Otton, I think you can throw him out confidently in tight end mandatory starts. Over to Carolina. Hey, man, two quarterback starts. I like Bryce Young, but not in single quarterback formats at this point. Chuba Hubbard, wide receiver, running back two. Adam Thielen as a wide receiver three or a flex. Xavier Leggett, I like him this week as a flex play. That's about the end. I think this is going to be a more fun game than most people are thinking. Tampa Bay favored by 5.5, and I don't want a part of either defense this week. Jack, what's that?
John, what do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers both have in common?
I'll
save you the suspense. They both got beat by the Chiefs, but only in overtime.
Ah, so Carolina. I forgot about that.
Take the over. Take the over in this game, whatever the over is. Yeah. Go ahead and take that over.
I like it. Rams-Saints, up to you next.
Yeah, so, you know, hey, here's the week I become a Rams fan for real because they're playing the Saints. That said, I'll let you know I'm starting about 18 Saints players because they're available in my league. All right, Matt Stafford, there are better QB options out there, but if this is who you've been rolling with, then I got no problem putting him in the trenches against New Orleans. They don't bother me at all. Now that he's got Nacua back, he's got Kupp, he's got Kyler that's healthy. DeMarcus Robinson actually has had a bunch of touchdown looks. There's no reason to not have Matt Stafford in the trenches, and you're going to go ahead and get everyone else I said out there too. They're all ones. Nacua and Kupp are both ones. Williams is a one. Robinson is a sexy flexy, a touchdown dependent league. I really like him a lot. In a touchdown only league, he's darn near a first round draft pick when Stafford and these other guys are healthy, because he gets a lot of ball hawking. Mm-hmm. Rams defense, if in a defense type of league, then sure, you can get them out there. But don't be surprised if New Orleans, you know, makes it a fun game. On to the New Orleans side of the ball. So no matter how much I dislike the Saints, they still keep putting up points. So Kamara is RB1, a must trench. Derek Carr, I think, is a great start this week. Rams are 21st against the QB. Taysom Hill in a tight end mandatory or in a sexy flexi. And again, you know, if you've got guys, John, that you're starting, like if you have to start Will Levis, mm-hmm. That's your quarterback, and you need all the fantasy, you have to go big or go home, then yeah, you want Taysom Hill in the lineup, absolutely, even in a flex. Yep. And he should be able to be an RB or a WR. This is ridiculous that he's only a tight end. MVS, I've got him out there as well on my team. I think he's a good WR2. He's been getting big play, big games, so... The Saints defense, I'm probably putting them on the bench. This will be, I think, a fun game to watch. I think it'll be a closer game than what we're all thinking. Hopefully the Rams win, but I think the Saints will pull off the upset.
Rams favored by 2.5 points. My fault.
Yeah, I think the Saints will get the upset. It'll be closer than we think, but Saints are very difficult to beat at home, man. It does not matter who they have. Mm-hmm. That dome, everyone thinks that Seattle's a tough place to play. No, there's no place tougher since Oakland left Oakland, in my opinion, to win a game than New Orleans. Because even when they suck, they still win at home.
Yep, I'm with you on that. I get the game we're probably all going to be watching in the late afternoon, and that's Philadelphia and Baltimore. Don't overthink this. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown. That's probably the only, and Dallas Goedert are the confident starts for me. Devonta Smith has just not gotten the targets while Brown is healthy, and Hurts is running a lot, so there are only so many targets, and Barkley, why pass when you've got Saquon Barkley this year? So keep an eye on Devonta Smith. He might be a flex play this week because the Ravens may score a lot. One thing about Philadelphia, they had a terrible secondary last year. And then they just drafted two shutdown cornerbacks, and now their defense is rock solid. But with Baltimore, you're starting Lamar Jackson. December is Derrick Henry time, so you got to have Henry in there. Flowers and Bateman, I think, are wide receiver threes. Mark Andrews, what to do with Mark Andrews? I hope if it's me, Jack, I'm picking up Taysom Hill, and I'm putting Mark Andrews on the bench. But that's just me. You probably want to run him out there. Baltimore favored by 3. Sunday night football. Snowpalooza, Jack. It's San Francisco and Buffalo.
Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
So this should have been a better game. Unfortunately, it's going to be all Buffalo all day. And what's worse about that is I really like Coach Shanahan. I like the Niners. I like the attitude. I've liked them since back when they had Kaepernick. I mean, I just love what the team's capable of, but they are going to underperform. I just don't see it happening. If Brock Purdy plays, I mean, the shoulder pain that he was dealing with, there's no way I trust him in that weather against that defense to get me enough fantasy points to win, to get into the playoffs or to succeed. So I'm going to bench Brock Purdy. I'm going to trench McCaffrey with capped expectations because that's how he's performed in his couple games back. George Kittle is a tight end one. You got to start him. And honestly, Kittle's worth the sexy flexy appeal, even in non-tight end mandatory. He's a great receiver. Juwan Jennings, if you got to have one, because Samuel and Pearsall have done nothing but disappoint. I mean, I don't know if you have any shares of Deebo Samuel, John, but he has been massively disappointing.
No, I don't. I have a hard time pulling the trigger on that guy. The big question mark with San Francisco, Jack, is Trent Williams might not play. And that is a huge problem for the 49ers.
Big time. Yep. And so what they really should have done was stuck with Jordan Mason the whole season. I think that would have been better and bring McCaffrey back in a little bit. But Mason had the tempo of the offense, and I think he's performed a little better the way he got credit for. But on to the Buffalo side of the ball, Josh Allen, Cook. I think Shakir is a WR2. I don't know if you need to go all the way down to Cooper or Curtis Samuel on the wideouts. I don't think you have to go that far this week. I think Shakir is the quick target possession guy, so I like him. Knox, I like him in tight end mandatory for sure. I love the Bills defense. And then on a flyer or in DFS, John, get you some Ray Davis. I think it's going to be a runaway game. And I just don't know how the Niners, especially without Williams, and if they don't have Purdy, how do they do anything against this Bills team? I know it's a professional team, but Allen looked terrible.
Yep.
And the weather is going to be really dependent. I mean, I just think it's going to be all running backs and tight ends all day. And Allen is a running back, a tight end, and a quarterback all in one.
We talked about it earlier. Snow in the forecast, potentially a lot of snow. Buffalo favored 6.5 points. Yeah, feet of snow. Monday Night
Four
Football.
4 inches of snow for every point they're favored.
Yeah, pretty much. Monday Night Football, Cleveland taking on Denver. Well, do you start Jameis or don't you start Jameis? That'll leave up to you. Nick Chubb has had a disappointing season thus far. I know he was hurt for a lot of it, but he did have 2 touchdowns for you last week. So run him out as an RB2. And because, man, it is tough to throw on Denver. So Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore, Jeudy and Tillman, I think, are flex plays. Elijah Moore, think a little harder on that. David Njoku, though. Jameis loves to throw it to David Njoku. That might be the only way he can get the ball to somebody against the Denver Broncos. And over to those Broncos, Bo Nix has been a hot quarterback because he's getting it done with his feet. Sean Payton is turning this into a real team. The Broncos are having a very good season. Against the Browns defense, I just don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to prognosticate and think about what this score is going to be. I don't have the over-under in front of me. But Bo Nix, start him in 2 quarterback scenarios. Cortland Sutton has been his number one target. I like him as a WR2. If you are in a 16-team league or something of that nature, Devon Vele is also getting targets. He's just not scoring you many points. And as far as the Denver running back situation, oh boy, your guess is as good as mine. Audric Estime, Javonte Williams. I don't know. I hope you got better choices than that. Denver is favored by 5.5 points, and that's going to do it for this week. Remember, if you miss any part of today's show, get that free 94.1 The Loon app on your iPhone or Android. You can also text us on the Car Shop Inc. text line 320-235-9094. And if we can help you out in any way. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas, and for Jack Culbertson, my name is John Jennings. We're going to see you next Saturday at 10 on The Loon for the Fantasy Football Foursome.